This is out.
Come on, I'll just take that there.
That looks hilarious.
I said, how close to me? You haven't seen me with my antennas on. Wow, okay, cool. All right.
So the reason I've asked to talk to you is because I've been getting a lot of contradictory information about where modern blues dance comes from, and I don't really know what to believe, so I'm going around asking people who I think will know better than I do.
Modern blues, yeah. They call it interpretation of modern blues dance. This is what they call it right now, right?
Well, that's what I'm calling it, but it's...
Okay.
I go to a blues night in London and we do blues dance, so that is a word that's in use now.
Oh, okay.
Is it not something, one that's familiar to you?
It's going to bring us closer.
It's kind of interesting because we had a conversation like this 4 years ago here. I think it was four. I'm not mistaken, 4 years. Hearing a harangue about Blues Night.
Yeah.
And it was a big conversation about what is Blues Night.
Is this the debate in the library that I remember, or are you talking about a different conversation?
I think they had a debate about that about 4 years ago. Yeah. But I wasn't here. I came the week after.
Mm-hmm.
And I was upstairs hearing this. I said, wow, what are they talking about? Because I went up and I saw the sign said Slow Drag Night. And I was going, what's a slow drag night? What are you talking about? Your slow drag night, is it a blues night? That's usually what slow drag means. You know, turn of the century, you're talking about 1900s music. And one day I was up in the office and Leonard and was talking. And they were talking about, well, we're going to do this. No, that type of music goes here, this type of music. And I said, there's a reason why you guys changed it. Well, they said slow drag is more appropriate than slow, this blues night. I said, but slow drag is the meaning of a technique of you use for blues music. That was blues music, a slow drag, meaning a slower tempo.
So slow drag is a kind of music, is that what you just said?
Mm-hmm. It was a style of motion. A
style of motion, okay. So it is
a dance. Like foxtrot or something like that. You say foxtrot, which really the foxtrot is for what we so-called the high enchilada or modern way of saying swing.
Right.
Okay, and swing music was like an urban type of thing. Nothing's really popularized until it gets commercial. That's the way it is,
right?
You know, you can see a movement and what is that? It's weird. And then if the public likes it and it does fit a music term,
yeah,
and it fits and it covers all over the continent, and then it's part of a culture there because it's a culture, the community has embraced it and now it's out there. Even if it's good or bad, I mean, mm-hmm. people, I hate to say that, you know, not all certain music is good music. Not all certain music that I hear are bad either. But some stuff in social, even in America or anywhere else, people embrace certain things. I think they do that off of desperation or they don't have or lack of knowledge of what is good and what is not bad. Because I've seen a lot of bad things get more publicity than the good.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you talk about a lot of people don't like rap. I said, well, not all rap is bad, not all rap is good. The meaning of the public, and I'm meaning by the popularity of it, commercialized, they make profit from it. It gets, you know, really popular, and then people embrace it. Then they...
Did you just say that foxtrot, the word foxtrot was popularized in this way, or...?
Foxtrot was another name to that's what they wanted to call it.
Right.
Swing was out there. It was really, the dance was never called swing. The music was called swing.
Yeah.
Then it's something that they did a dance and they just labeled it. Well, this is a dance that can be done to all swing music because that's the way people felt.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the original name is Lindy Hop, but And then this different styles start variation across the country. And they said, well, they're doing this thing of swing music. So it is a swing dance. Mm-hmm. Slow drag is a movement that was done to slower music, blues mainly properly. Mm-hmm. And of course, everybody said, that was a blues movement that was done, blues movement done to blues music.
Can you describe that movement?
You have.
It's all right, don't worry, I can edit this.
There's people waiting, should I tell them to come back in half an hour?
Tell them I'm being interviewed, I will be back about 20 minutes or so. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I can see you're busy, I appreciate this. This is really kind of you.
Okay.
You're talking about slow drag as a movement. Could you describe that in words?
The slow drag was a very close cuddle dance, and it was done on we call it a draw. A draw is a movement between two bodies moving in a straight particular line. Have you remember the old Apache dances they used to do when they dragged the girl across the floor?
No,
and her chest. Her head is, of course, the guy's shoulder, her chest against his chest, and his body's real close. But she's dangling, like lunging onto this guy, like for dear life or something. But it's not like that. He's holding her up. And then her legs, it's almost like a drag motion. But
you see this in the spirit moves, I think.
Correct. It's in the spirit moves. It's in there. And it's done in Lindy. They call it pull away, they drag the girl off.
You call it a ragdoll or something.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, but this, notice that more like Iron Kirk Castle, Iron Vern Castle, but it's more in control. It's not like a huge line. They just move across the floor, draw it, dragging the girl, but it's a control drag.
You say this dance got the castle treatment?
Well, around the same time.
All right.
That's why I said that movement was out even at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would move in a line, a long line. The leader would lead them back.
Mm-hmm.
Then they stop, and they would go side to side. It's very variation. But it was a slow drag.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they call it.
So it's drag in the sense of dragging across the floor.
Correct.
Right?
You know.
I mean, that's not what we do here on Slow Drag Night, right?
No. They don't even do none of that. There's a lot of steps in here in blues movements I don't see. I don't see Rubber Dub. Rubber Dub came out in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
late 40s, 50s, and it was really popular in the 60s. The late night rhythm and blues music, Stack Records, Motown songs and stuff. Go to house parties and then play these records and great songs, Marvin Gaye and stuff like that. And it was called Rubber Dub.
Mm-hmm.
Get good, you know. The chance you got the girl real close to you, and you know, that's it. And there was a lot of risque type of movements and stuff they would do. There was a step called Booty Green, if I should have been Booty Green. And that was an individual step, it was a vernacular movement. It was done individually, but as well close up where your partner at the mm-hmm. same time. Later on, the Booty Green became the broken hip in the 60s, you know. And then when he hopped with it, move and shake a tail feather in the 60s. So it's the dance has evolved all through these years and stuff like that. But these are old individual steps. And blues has certain movements and steps if you break it down. Really, the traditional, the people that I know, that the whole traditional movements of blues, the Delta blues, people down in the mid-south,
okay.
Middle Eastern.
So these are people you know. So this is from what seventies, eighties,
When I was growing up watching it, it was in the '70s,
mm-hmm.
say like 60, 70, and watching. They had these different steps, and I look. But now I see if I see a blues movement, it's not the same that I see on the dance floor right now.
Mm-hmm.
Dance floor is more controlled. They're doing what they see. But you've seen the stuff in the Midwest. Delta blues, Mississippi, New St. Louis, Arkansas. Those are some steps. They doing some stuff that you don't even see in the classrooms. So I go, woo! You know. And so That's, you know, that's why when I look at it, I say, okay, that's nice. That's good. They don't do free steps. They don't do, like, pause and stuff like that.
Thanks.
Like I was saying, the steps that you see on the floor right now, you never see. You would never see in the Midwest, because the Midwest is like they maintain the original form of dancing. Mm-hmm. And the people that immigrated and went to Harlem and stuff, they had those dances, and that was one of the style of dances, of course, that made the Harlem Renaissance grow too. And when the music grew more popular, then their dances grew more too.
What is the Harlem Renaissance?
Harlem Renaissance is a movement of all the black immigrants were moving, looking for jobs.
Okay.
They went east. And because other places were, they weren't given jobs, they were nowhere to go. So they heard this place near New York had a good place for, you know, for Afro-Americans to move. Some moved to San Francisco, moved, some moved to California, but those are different other history. Mm-hmm. But meaning of that, the Harlem Renaissance was one of the biggest booms, you know, for workers and this, and the dancers and the nightclub.
So this is early 20th century?
Yeah, okay. 20, we're talking about early 20s. We're talking about from 1900s up.
So this is just general population history. This isn't dance history. Is that right?
Oh, this is public. Yeah, public. Yeah. But dance is still, when you talk about, dance is always going to be remaining in any type of history.
Yeah.
Because people doesn't understand, because we always have this type of music or that type of dance. And it's going to affect somebody politically, whatever. Some people say, I don't see it working politically. It has. Mm-hmm. Nobody really sat back and thought it over. Have you ever thought of this? Okay, I'll put it like this. What dance has so powerful, it broke in the barrier between blacks and whites and make people, because dance is just a universal music. It's music. People mm-hmm. love each other. Love everything. Comes from different places, but it works. Name a dance team that broke the race barrier and broke it was on the silver screen. Now you got to remember, in those days, a long time ago, if a black face and stuff, even a black couldn't perform by himself, you know, without a team. You had to have a team before mm-hmm. that. And then, not by himself as a solo, it showed too much freedom, too much power. Mm-hmm. So, and it had to be in blackface.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Louis Armstrong's not a dancer, mm-hmm. but he made that break, right?
Yeah, he was definitely made that. But he'd been around a lot of dancers to know.
Yeah.
And Louis Armstrong. So, if you had, Megan, want to come in? Come in over here. Okay, you all right?
Hey. Where are we supposed to?
I'm going to start. I'm going to interview right quick. I'm going to start doing it. Okay. Your first team that broke the barrier of integration is they were black mm-hmm. and white. One was a 6-year-old, and the other was a 56-year-old. Bill Robinson, Shirley Temple. And it's, the age difference is different. One's black, one's white. And they said, somebody took a risk and said, let's put this on the screen. Average person said, that ain't gonna work. The public is not gonna like it. They did it. They showed the two on stage. They didn't look at color. They looked at the dance. They looked at what the music was happening. And they were the biggest hit on the silver screen. So I'm going like, okay, there's something in there. Something in there. Now people start to watch that. That's one incident. What's the incident? With Bill, Louis Armstrong had to go up there near Africa, way out there, and stop the war. There was a war happening. These guys were killing each other. And he went down there to talk and play music.
When's that?
That was in the 30s. You really need to talk to Norm or tell him the time. Louis Armstrong went down there. When he came down there, now this is the craziest thing. The two tribes and people that were doing war fighting each other, hey, Louis Armstrong's coming to town. They stopped fighting for 3 or 4 days because Louis Armstrong came in there and he performed. And they stopped and wouldn't see the concert. I said, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
This guy had this much publicity and this power, influence on people that he make a whole country and people stop fighting.
Found something they care about more.
And then he drives away to go back, so they have to think about, why are we fighting? It makes you think. It makes you think about society. That's why I said society and dance. Dance will always be there in political, 50s, 60s, late 40s, 50s into the 60s. Malcolm X. Malcolm X was a Lindy Hopper. And people didn't believe it. Okay, you take the Lindy Hoppers in the 40s. Why politically did he took that stand and different things? Then in the California, Hispanics wear zoot suits like it was crazy. The zoot suits representation of the war. They did not like war. That suit represented nobody likes to fight. We didn't want to fight. Of course, the government didn't like that, so they took all zoot suiters and threw them in jail. If you wore a zoot suit, they would put you in jail.
So when was that?
This is in the 40s.
In not in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. You were just a hip cap. You were so free. You was cool. You were out. You do your thing. It's just a reputation of, I mean, we knew war was there. We know that. But we didn't want war. People didn't want to fight. We want the war to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that thing. That's just some of the history, but see, I'm just talking about, God, you're wearing a suit. And that's a representation of what you are. And they go, the political, the government, police go grab you, take you away. That's deep.
Yeah, it is.
That's really deep.
So your point then is that dance has always been political?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to have some meaning of political into it.
Okay.
What's that, Irving Berlin? Wrote all the war songs. It kept the morale going. But what he was in the showbiz. All the dancers. Who sang Irving Berlin's numbers that made it sell? Fred Astaire. Or a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying, so we're talking about the relationship of blues, the style of blues. They're out there in certain steps. Due to the fact that I like to research. I like to go around and look and research for it. Those things are highly important. And some of the classes, I just feel as an instructor or anybody that's going to go out and do blues dancing should really go like back to the Midwest, or Delta blues and stuff. And some of the old timers are still doing those steps and notate them.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to teach them, you should teach them out there then. So what you're hearing, like we hear in certain lyrics, you go, wow, that's pretty good, you know. And like we were rehearsing today, and one of the girls said, oh, my jelly roll. And she grabbed the side of her waist. I said, that's not your jelly roll. What's that? I said, well, that's your side. That's your saddle, side saddle.
Yeah.
Or love saddles, or whatever you call it. I said, but that's not your jelly roll.
So what's a jelly roll?
Jelly roll is the woman's behind.
Right.
That's what jelly roll. Or, the comedy team in the 20s. They were very famous, called Butter, Beans, and Susie. Hilarious. They were funny as heck through the song and dance. She was this big, healthy woman. Big, they're healthy. And this guy was a real thin, skinny guy. And he said, I didn't know if they were husband or wife or not, but they were hilarious. He was skinny and she was really big. And they said, they would sing all these risque and crazy songs. And then they would sing this song called, she said, I want a hot dog for my roll. I want it hot. I don't want it cold. Give me a big one. I like this shit. I got to have it chilled beer. Oh, and he said, I got a hot dog for your roll. She said, well, where's your dog? He said, show me a roll. Here's my roll. He said, oh, boy, I can't handle that. That kind of roll you have, I'm going to have to put a half a hog in there. So I'm just saying, those are just, and if you don't know the terminology, you hear it, you go, oh, my God, this is kind of a risque record. Mm-hmm. You have to be really kind of fast and hear. He said, oh, baby. And he said, I like your jelly roll. Like, what's the song? I like pie. I like anything.
Oh, classic.
Da, 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 da.
It's all about sex, da,
da, da. Right? Right. Yeah. Okay. When I see your jelly roll, makes me lose my self-control. Da, 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 you, da, I love you most of all. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it, but some people just, they don't know. They just sing the song. Mm-hmm. And I was used to singing, my mom said, don't sing that song. So why, mom? Don't sing that song. Okay. I kept on saying, look, there ain't nothing wrong. We just talk about jelly roll. And we talk about this. A jelly roll. She go, pop. Okay. I ain't singing that song. Okay. I don't know why. And then when I get older, I go, oh, no.
I know I got hit
upside the head so many times. So
you're saying that the blues teachers should go and can talk to these old guys dancing the old moves?
Yeah, and you know, and there's some in New York.
Why do you say that? I mean, is it?
Well, I think it's part of history. We need it.
That's not what, I mean, these are dance teachers, they're not historians. So.
Yeah, but why should we teach the blues dance if I'm not going to teach it to you real, for real?
Well, tell me your opinion on that.
Then. I can't put your, they're doing whatever they can do. I mean, I can see a blues dance done in a ballet piece because it's contemporary. Oh, that's what I call contemporary dance. Contemporary dance was made to do contemporary between balletic and jazz and stuff. Their interpretation dance. That's contemporary dance.
Yeah.
60s came out, they call it modern dance, which is a contemporary dance. It's another name. This is modern.
Same thing.
It's just,
yeah.
Another, I said, well, that's contemporary. No, it's modern. Okay, whatever you want to call it. But I'm telling you what it is. What it is. And they said, then later on, they said, this is jazz, contemporary jazz dance. So you take all the college and say, this is jazz dance. And I sat there, yes, for your style of jazz, maybe. But I'm talking about authentic jazz. You're talking about vernacular form. I used to use that word in the 60s. People used to look at me like I was crazy. I did a show called The Vernacular. Nobody didn't understand until they came and saw the show. And they left there going, oh. Then I got a chance to talk to, what's the guy? He passed away, Marshall Stern. And he wrote the history of vernacular. Then I started putting the word back out into the public. I said, no, it's vernacular, people.
So what can you say what that word means?
Vernacular, well, in dictionaries, meaning the meaning of the word, the time of a language and stuff. But a universal meaning is the place, people, place, or things. What was the vernacular of the car? Go vernacular of the car in 1948 with a Buick or somebody else. Oh, that car, or the language, how people talk. And, oh, that must be 1940. Oh, that's 1960s.
You know? So it's just what people do.
And it captures that time element.
Yeah.
We use it as, we capture the time element.
I see. So it's what people do now.
Right.
Got you.
Right. The vernacular of today is hip-hop, this. Mm-hmm. Our vernacular we use because we're talking about Lindy Hop jazz and stuff.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So.
So I want to bring you back to that question of if I'm a blues teacher, blues dance teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to teach a blues dance. Am I doing it for the benefit of the dancers? They want to become better dancers. They want to have fun.
Yeah, I think they want to have fun. You can do it like that. I think you can teach it, and they can have fun, because it's all about what you feel.
But you say we should look at the historical dance.
I just say that because what I would do,
mm-hmm.
because I'm a researcher. I'm a person. I like to go out and look.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did a long time ago. That's the reason I'm in this business. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a filmmaker. I do all kinds of stuff, but dance came in second, and it just excelled it more than my filmmaking. So I, you know, and I like history. So, mm-hmm. and I just gravitate to it so quick. So I go, okay.
Have you ever tried teaching these old blues dances?
Lately, a lot of people, I haven't started doing it until like the last 4 years, but I did think Leonard said, why don't you do something? I said, give me one night of blues night. And I did it one night, and everybody was shocked the whole night, like, whoa, we've never seen that before. Then every day, they've been asking, oh, you going to do blues night? I said, no, let everybody else do it. Well, I think, well, I just did that just to show that there are different variations of blues. There's Delta blues, contemporary blues. Count Basie having to have happy blues. I mean, blues supposed to be something that you have sad, but you listen to Count Basie's music, oh, and you be happy and just jumping. But it shows you that the blues can be interpreted in so many different ways.
I want to take you back to this because I didn't know that you taught a blues lesson here. So you're saying that the reaction was that people did not recognize that dance?
Well, they were shocked to see it on stage. They were like, wow, what is that? Right. What's the name of that step? What is this step?
So it wasn't a lesson, it was a performance.
It was a performance, I was showing inside the performance the first movement, the first 2 minutes is the style of blues, second movement, and I had it going for about 20 minutes. Okay. Usually blues night performance is 3 or 4 minutes, but they let me do about 15, 20.
So which style of blues did you go for?
I went Midwest, I went Mississippi. Mm-hmm. I went Mississippi, I did some Delta. Then I did some stuff on the stage, contemporary, and I would show more modern. And how would you do it on a Broadway stage?
Mm-hmm. Today?
Yeah.
And this was 2010 or something?
Yeah. Okay. It was, if you look at it, Talk to Norma. In the name of the dance, I did The Comeback by Count Basie.
All right. And we started this interview. I said, I want to talk about blues dance. And it was very telling, your reaction. You immediately said, is that what they're calling it?
Mm-hmm.
But you knew what it was, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So I go and I see some steps and I said, that looked like a so-and-so move from another dance. Oh, that looked like some Argentine tango. That looked like something. Mm-hmm. They're borrowing stuff from different things, which is cool. Dances.
Do you think it is a coherent dance? Is it? Does everybody mean the same thing when they say blues dance today?
I don't even know what to mean. If you ask them anything about blues, if I ask them, did they know anything about Big Bill Bizzurro or Muddy Waters or some of the half those guys, say, what's that? If you don't know the blues music and the blues authors and the people contemporary that plays it, how am I going to know the dance?
So you define the dance in terms of the music then?
Yeah, both. They both go together. Mm-hmm. I think they both all go together.
It smells like food.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying you couldn't do anything else to that music? Is that's almost what you said.
I mean, what you mean? In a blues fashion, if I'm listening to it today?
If you're listening to blues music, would that make you necessarily move in a particular way? Or?
Yeah, well, I move different way. I interpret music so many different ways. I get on the floor, I dance with a girl differently, each girl differently. It depends on the music right here. If it's jumping happy blues, come on, girl, we gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. If it's a more slower thing, I'm going to do it into that fashion of it.
But are these all dances you've learned, or do you just make it up as you go along?
No, I take the steps to what I learned and put them in interpretation that fits that song.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean, taking a step. You can learn a step and get it, but now it's up to you. What do you want to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
You have to show the interpreted what you feel out of that in the music and express it to them. Mm-hmm. That's what music is there, and that's what movements are. I can do the same movement in a different song and it looks different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it, you know, because I had to learn it. When I had to learn it, I had to listen to it. And they said, what did that remind you of? Oh, that remind me of something like this or another one. If I took it and learned a step and I did the same movement in one dance another, it's just like me going to school. I do this to this same thing, to this number, another record coming. I do the same thing, to this.
Does it depend on who you're dancing with? I mean, does it?
That's true.
Does it matter that the follower knows what the moves that you're doing, for example?
The follower will follow you anywhere. That's her mission.
Okay.
Her mission.
Yeah.
But you find some pretty interesting followers, some are more sensitive. And I mean by sensitive, their reaction time is faster. They can they'll follow you quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some women are stronger pull to lead, and some of them are like tanks. I can't even move them. I might have to put a mine underneath from a bolt. Get your ass off the well. You know, but no, but there's some of them a reaction, and they just they lay right there with you, and they move, and they're moving with you constantly, mm-hmm. and that makes you go, "Whoa, that's a good dance."
Let's see what we can do here.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah. they bounce energy back and forth off of you, you know. And that's you know that's the fun thing about dance, especially interpretations and having a good time.
But there's no sense that you're dancing with this kind of person, so you got to do this kind of thing. You're dancing with this kind of person, so you got to do this kind of thing.
You're fine. You experiment with that.
Yeah.
Experiment with your move to see what you move. You know, it's all good. Dance is, like I said, dance is universal. It's how you use it. And the mainly thing is how what you interpret. If you're going to be a performer, how do you interpret it as an individual? And what you're trying to give across so people can go, wow. You know, the highs, the lows, and certain things.
When you say get across, are you thinking performance? Or are you...
Performance, yes. Yeah. Yes, sir. Performance.
So, I mean, the blues dance I know is they people do perform it, but it's mainly a social dance. It's you do it for your partner.
Yeah, well, if it's social, I think that's great. But if it's on stage, then you have to figure out what type of emotion you're trying to get out on stage so you want the whole public to feel it. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Slaughter on 10th Ave?
No.
Oh, God, it's a great ballet. But it's a ballet, jazz ballet.
Say the name again.
Slaughter on 10th Ave.
Slaughter on 10th Ave. Okay.
Yeah. This guy goes in the club and he meets this girl. He finally falls in love with her. She's just rough and tough as him. He's from the edge of the riverbank. And she loves this guy. She finds somebody she loves. But this other sailor guy sees her and says, he's been after her for longest, but she does never show no interest to him. Mm-hmm. And they get into a fight over this woman and this stuff. So the guys that like, got to one of the bad guys say, if I can't have her, nobody will. Then he goes, pow, and shoots her right in the middle of the nightclub. And she falls, and she dies right in his arms. And he's like, oh, what is this? What is this can't be happening? And he sees the killer. And they get into a fight. You know, it's all done, you know, balletic and fight. Mm-hmm. And he kills the killer, but he goes to jail. Tragic, dark, real dark. But you can look it up. I think Gene Kelly did it once. Mm-hmm. It's real good. Very good stuff. Slaughter on 10th Avenue.
Right. This is a ballet.
It's like a ballet, but it's had contemporary jazz movements.
Right.
And the jazz and the bluesy, yeah, the bluesy feel, real slick bluesy feel. And when you see that, you go, oh, this person really put some time into this because the movements were really so slick that made it spread out to everybody. Even if you're watching on TV, you go, whoa, you know. And it made you feel a different thing, so.
Is there more than one performance of this ballet, or is there a particular one?
Oh yeah, it was on stage, and all of them had pretty unique their style of it.
When you say you see it on TV, is there a kind of a film version of it?
Or? Yeah, in the 50s.
In the 50s, okay. Late 50s. Is that easy to get hold of?
Yeah, just type in Slaughter on 10th Avenue with Gene Kelly, it'll pop up.
Brilliant.
You know, there's a lot of, and some of the greater choreographers are very unique. Some are made for television stuff, but no, some of them. Like I would explain to Susie Q. I said, this is how Hollywood produces Susie Q. Mm-hmm. Or theatrically, because it was a wider base, the foot would go up. Mm-hmm. Bigger, the foot, so the people in the back can see the rotation.
Yep.
But if you did it in the ballroom, it stays on the floor and it drags across the floor. You know, but some people did. No, it goes like this. I said, okay.
I think we're probably getting close to when you have to be somewhere else.
Yeah, I got to get me work with these gentlemen.
But there is...
Because they're going to do a blues night, but the ladies are doing a blues night, and we're doing a Echoes of Harlem.
Oh, nice.
You know, certain things that we're going to do. And they just did the version of Blue Moon, which is unique, and we did some stuff... What was taught to you guys? Silver Fox?
Yeah,
Silver Fox. What's a Silver Fox? And the guy's behind the woman, like a tandem motion. It's called a Silver Fox motion. And they would do it. It's quite simple.
There's just one more thing I want to ask you, if I can. What do you know about how the modern blues started?
I think it started a few years ago because everybody thought it was a market. It was not being touched or nobody explored. So I think everybody wanted to touch on it, which is not bad.
A few years ago being when?
4 or 5 years.
So 2009?
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I started seeing people, oh, blues night, blues night, blues night. Well, here in Harang, they've been doing blues night a lot, but far across the country and workshops, people started doing blues night.
And where do you think it started?
I'm not sure. That I'm not sure.
Okay.
I just know here we had it a long time.
Okay.
And then when I started going out, people said, I think we're going to do blues. I said, okay, let me go see. And then I looked, I said, that's not blues. So I go, well, something else. It's interesting, but that's just me.
Yeah. So you reserve term blues for the older stuff?
I believe in, yeah, the older stuff, if you're going to get the original choreography or the original movement, I put it like that, mm-hmm. movement. So you can make choreography and break it into a static so you can teach other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like Lindy or whatever, you have to learn what the basics are. What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's urban, some people did the step, they just did it. They didn't know about that, they was teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
And until you learn all those steps and you put them in a order, in an orderly way, that everybody can learn it.
Okay, so you want it to be a kind of a revival dance, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that would be good, nice.
But you're also saying that that's not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I knew that it lives on longer. The dance lives on longer. And if you wanted to put some new twists in it and stuff, that's all right. But the thing is, you have a strong foundation of that dance.
Yeah.
And it always grows.
So if it's not a revival dance, then what is it? I mean, where does it come from? And what do you see in this dance? Where do the moves come from?
I think they're coming from other sources, sure. Other people.
You know? Hello. You guys having a meeting? Right quick.
Huh? Yes, a little bit.
Just leave this one.
Oh, you all right? You know that? Commander? No, I think it's just, I think it's a fad that people want to come back out, which is good, and I think it's good. But I feel they should research if they're gonna find out what these steps are. You know, like one guy asked me, you know what the bop is? I said, yeah, I know it. You know, the guy said, can you teach? I said, I can teach you the basics, but I can't teach you a lot. And I showed it to him. Everybody was like, wow, what is that? We want more of it. I said, well, if you want me to teach more, I'm gonna have to do research on myself,
mm-hmm.
so I can give it to you, because I don't want to give you nothing that's not gonna be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I
did. So you're really serious about being authentic.
Yeah.
That's what drives you.
Yeah. That's why I'm out here. Everybody look at me like, how can you make things up so quick? I can make up 25 dances a day. Basically between 25 and 15 dances. If somebody says, can you create this? I go, yeah, I think so. What do you want? Let's do it. And get up and throw it. You know? And that's what I do. I mean, I don't know how.
I'm not quite sure what you're saying. You're choreographing a routine here?
No.
You say you did choreograph 25 routines?
I can choreograph 25 routines in a day.
In a day? Blimey.
Did you see what I did outside?
No.
They did a comedy fight scene outside.
Okay.
Okay, before the meeting started, they asked me, well, I take a group of people and choreograph them in 20 minutes. I said, maybe so. It depends on the level and how far the comprehension is. But I can have me something fun out here. So I said, we're going to do a fight scene, a comedy fight scene. Okay, so we did the Peter Gunn thing. And that's what came out in 20 minutes.
Brilliant.
And they said, oh. I said, you even have the staging, how they're going to come out, move back, drop down, come back. You know, 20 minutes. That's all you can do, you know. And it's not bad from people that's never been on stage. Number mm-hmm. one, they're learning how to dance. Number two, they have no idea what the hell it is. So I had to push them into that 20-minute phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But it came out.
Cool. What kind of dance moves were in that then?
Huh?
What kind of dance moves you put in that then?
That was more theatrical.
That was more theatrical, okay.
Yeah. theatrical. Okay. More fun, theatrical. Mainly getting their heads knowing what movements and beats, how to get the beats, and then knowing how to get from stage back.
Yeah, okay. Shall we stop?
Oh, yeah, I might have to let go.
Thank you very much.
No, my man, anytime, call me.
I really appreciate it. This is kind of a golden opportunity for me. So.
Oh, well, you got it, man. Hey, man, thank you, sir. And I hope I helped you out.
Yeah, you did. You certainly did. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I think...
There's still peanuts in there.
Oh,
do you want some?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I love peanuts.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. But I'm
I'll leave those with you.
And it's good. It's good. If you're doing a blues thing, it's always good. When you're, like you said, you know, like you're doing research now, it's good that you're doing research because you want to know.
Yep.
I want to know. I want to find out. And that's I think that's good. Some people say, oh, I can do the blues. I don't even go out there and look at nothing. I just give me a couple of moves. I can make something up out of that. And that's good if you want to do that. But why not make up some moves when you have the arsenal of the material, somebody giving you some realistic stuff, and it's yours. And now you can make things off of it.
So that's how you would do it?
Mm-hmm.
But that's, okay.
And that's how, with the Honey Coles, my teacher, John Bubbles and all of them say, you know, how do you think the time step evolved all these years? I said, what do you mean? How many time steps are in a long time ago, you say? Oh, it's about two or three.
How many what steps?
Time steps.
What's that mean?
A time step is a step that you do keeping time without talking to the band. They can hear the rhythm.
I agree.
You keep the band in without you talking.
Yeah.
A lot of tap dancers, when we ask that, go to tap dance, what's the time step? I'll show it to you. No, I'm asking you, can you explain what it is you're showing?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know what you got. By the time I learned the time step, I thought it was just three or four.
28.
And that's not including the breaks.
Wow.
I said, oh my God, I got a lot of fun.
Okay.
So I started researching.
I can see that people are putting pressure on you to get onto the next thing.
I know. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, buddy.
I'll leave you here.
All right, my man.